That's some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today on this Monday, June 17, 2024, on this beautiful Monday? Hope y'all had a great weekend. Once again, shout out to all the fathers out there who hope y'all enjoyed y'all Father's Day as you richly deserve, especially if you're doing what you're supposed to do as a father. You know, unfortunately, I had to work, so I had to do the number phone call to the fathers and let them know Happy Father's Day, and I was thinking about them, so I took care of that. But hey, a lot of basketball took place over the weekend, mostly from the WNBA. But we had a NBA Finals game took place over the weekend that not over yet. It's not over yet, which is a good thing for those who enjoy basketball like I do. Unfortunately, I think this is ending very soon. I'll get to that in a minute. But thank y'all for tuning in. If you're watching on X, formerly known as Twitter, yes, we are live on the X for today. If you're watching on Facebook, if you're watching on LinkedIn, and I don't know if we're live on YouTube. YouTube's having some trouble, so I don't know if we're live on YouTube. If we're live on YouTube, let me know in the chat that we're live on YouTube. I don't know if we're live or not, but hey, I'm here. I'm in the building. That's rock and roll. And by the way, speaking of being live, you can follow us on X at Playmakers The. Okay, that is Playmakers There. On Instagram and Facebook, The Playmakers Blog. So go ahead and follow us on all social media platforms there is. Now, they just get into some lesson. Now, we got to go around the hardwood. Y'all know I got to give y'all news and notes first of around the hardwood. And to begin around the hardwood session, Charles Barkley says the 2024-2025 season will be his final season on television. Now, Charles Barkley said this after game four between the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics, which I will get into later on in the show. He comes out and says, quote, I'm not going anywhere but TNT, you know. But I have made my decision, and no matter what happens, next year is going to be my last year on television. I just wanted to say thank you to my NBA family. You guys have been great to me. My heart's full with joy and gratitude, all right? That's what he said to let everybody know on NBA TV that it was going to be his last year. He also goes and says, quote, I hope the NBA stays with TNT, but for me personally, I wanted you guys to hear from me. I wanted to tell my NBA TV and my TNT family that I'm not going to another network, but I'm going to pass the baton to either Jamal Crawford, Vince Crawford, or Steve Smith, is what he said. So no matter what happens, ladies and gentlemen, next season will be Charles Barkley's final season on TV. It also could be the final season that we get inside the NBA on TNT, as TNT is still fighting for a right to keep rights to some NBA games. But 2024 will be the last of Charles Barkley on television. And we might see it will be the last of Inside the NBA on TNT as well. Moving on, Joel Embiid recovering well on target for the Olympics. He was a part of the NBA Cap Now coverage for game four, joining Malika Andrews, Mike Rilbon, Stephen A. Smith, Paul George is there too. You know, he says, quote, I'm doing great, just getting ready for the Olympics, as he was on part of the pregame. So I'm looking forward to Joel Embiid getting healthy. We'll see about Tyrese Haliburton. News came out that Tyrese is also recovering pretty well. No word on Kawhi Leonard, but he did get a haircut, obviously. So I did get to see that he got a haircut. So happy that he got a haircut. And nevertheless, we'll see going forward when it comes to the Olympic team. I won't go. I'm not going to say, but I won't go. That would do it for the NBA side of it. Let's go to the WNBA. Because this one right here got very interesting. Wings of Gumawale, politics involved in Olympic selection. She said this on Nightcap when she was a part of Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco, a.k.a. Chad Johnson, Nightcap. When she went on there, she said a lot of things, you know. Starting with, quote, me being me, I just felt the vibe. When it comes to stuff like that, it really doesn't have much to do with your game. It's really about who they feel like fits with the team. That's on the men's side, too. That's a pretty strong statement right there by Enrique Morale. Just saying that they was looking for who fits the team best, not game-wise. And because Enrique Morale has everybody came out and said it's the biggest snub there is this year when everybody's talking about Caitlin Clark should have been on. But you know, she did continue to go on and say, quote, I can't really speak to USA basketball in general, but just when I think of women's basketball, politics is always surrounding it. Whether that's USA basketball, all-star team, all NBA first team, there's politics and everything, she is correct. There's politics and everything. You know, she also said, quote, the committee say they look for people who I don't know, honestly, but I could already tell. I actually took my name out of the pool months ago. With the pool, it's a big commitment. If I know they're not picking me, I'm not going to keep going to these camps. When I know the vibe, I'm not going to give you my time if I know the vibe. She said, it's subjective who thinks they should be on the team. Everybody's great in the WNBA. So who they choose is who they choose. I can't really control that. So it's a lot to make of this. And some of the stuff she said it could be actually true. But you're talking about four Las Vegas Aces is on the team, led by AJ Wilson and Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, and Chelsea Gray. And we haven't seen Chelsea Gray set foot on the court this whole season. So maybe she has a point in that one when it comes to picking who they want. Also, you know, Diana Taurasi is up in age and 41, and she was invited to the Olympic team. Jude Lloyd, two-time Olympic. You got to be on the team, which I don't mind. June Lowe, she's good. Sabrina Ionescu from the New York Daily is the other guy making her first ever Olympic appearance, you know. So those are basically the interesting things for the guards. When you got Diana Taurasi, Jude Lloyd, Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, and New York Sabrina Ionescu. So, I mean, to be quite honest, we could easily take Chelsea Gray out, who hasn't played a snap in this, and put Enrique Gumawale in there, but Enrique felt that she weren't going to get in and she didn't continue to go to camps and stuff like that. So unfortunate as that is, she felt some type of way, and she did what she had to do to make sure that it didn't continue, you know. It didn't continue. So that would do it for Rhonda Harwood. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive into the NBA because they had a hell of a weekend in the W. A hell of a weekend. We'll be back.
The largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant? Weather. Devastating tornadoes ripped through the heart of the United States. Inspiration. A breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy and now begins a future one of matrimony or sport. Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network proudly presents The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday morning beginning April 29th at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
Yeah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Lids. Lids is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Lids has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Lids.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week in an objective manner and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying. But this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah, they want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out here. Just to let you know, we are sponsored by Fanatics, Paramount Plus, and Liz. And right now, you can go to Liz.com to get your sports gear and get free U.S. shipping over orders that are $24 with the promo code Liz24. That is LIDS24. LIDS24 for free U.S. shipping over orders. That's $24. All right, now that we are back, let's dive into the WNBA. It's the weekend recap for the WNBA. Beginning on Friday, ladies and gentlemen, we had two games on Friday. We had the Washington Mystics host the Chicago Sky, and we had the Minnesota Lynx play host to the LA Sparks. And another win from the girls in D.C. as the Washington Mystics survive a matchup with the Chicago Skies, 83-81. Aria Atkins with 29 points to lead the way for the Mystics. Aaliyah Edwards, the rookie from UConn, with 16 points and 9 boards to help out as well. Angel Reese on the other side, 10 points, 14 boards, and the losing effort, Carmelo Cardoso, got 12 points to help out. But it wasn't enough as the Misses got their second win of the season. Shout out to the Misses getting that big dub after getting their first dub down in the ATL. All right. Team statistics, as you can see here, not great three-point shooting. You saw about 31% for the sky, about 27% for the Misses, but it didn't matter. The Misses got a dub, a much-needed dub at that. From the capital to the Twin City of Minnesota, as Minnesota continued to ride that hot wave, taking down the LA Sparks 81-76. And you already know. Defeat Chicago, 30 points, 6 boards. I mean, she's in a running for MVP. I mean, she is balling her butt off. They just call it what it is. Defeat Chicago is in a running for MVP, along with Asia Wilson. Okay, but I don't know what's going on with the Vegas Aces and the feature car. You might be the front runner and the MVP voter. I'm just throwing that out there because she's doing her thing and the Lynx are 10-3. Just saying. But Carrington got 11 points, Smith with 12, Wins with 15, all putting in double digit points. For the Sparks, Derica Hamby, 16-11. She's continued to be a double-double machine for the Sparks, continue to do her thing. He got 19-10 from Rakita Jasmine, which is impressive. Okay. The 10 boards is very good. The 19 points, that's what she does. She is a bucket. I don't say that plenty of times ever since she got drafted to the WNBA. She's a freaking bucket. That's Rakita Jasmine, 6-10 from the field. All right. Cameron Brick. We gotta find the right play for Cameron Brick on the offensive end. Defensive end, she's going to get you rebounds. She's going to get you blocks. She's going to do her best. On the offensive end, you can't have 0 points in 18 minutes. You just can't, even though you weren't fouled if you had 4 fouls. But we need to see more from the rookie from Stanford and Cameron Brick. Just saying, all right? And your team statistics right here, give you a quick look at those. I'm going to run through them. So that was Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move to Saturday. Saturday! NWNBA Finals rematch out in Vegas when the Las Vegas Aces played host to the New York Liberty. And then also we had the Kinetic Suns travel to the Big D to take on the Dallas Wings. First up, the WNBA Finals rematch. The national game of the week. And the New York Liberty went down to Vegas and put them girls down. 90-82. Put the defending champs at 6-6 on the season while the Liberty go to 12-2. Looking like the best team in the WNBA right now, even though there's a team that has a better record than them, but they only lost Kane to the New York Liberty. Those who don't remember, but we'll get to them in our next game. Aces, then the Liberty jumped out to an 8-point lead. The Aces fought back in the second quarter, led by Kelsey Plum. And then in the second half, it was Liberty, man. The Liberty took control, okay? Outscoring the Aces, 45-39 in the second half. And Jonquel Jones, JJ, gave me a 34-piece. That's what I'm talking about. Knowing she had to be on her game because you're going against Asia Wilson. Asia Wilson with 21-9. I think this is the first game of the season that she didn't get a double-double. Because she didn't get 10 boards. This is the first game of the season where she did not get 10 boards. Making her work. But she did get 21 points. Kelsey Plum got it 22. I mean, them girls on it. But JJ with the 34-piece and 12 boards. Thank you. Thank you. Loved it, man. And she was 4-for-5 from 3-point range. It was made even more better to enjoy because that girl was on point out in Vegas. That's what we need from JJ right there. Sabrina gave me 15 with 12 dimes. Stewie gave me 14 and 12 boards. You know, y'all like it. I got 12 from Elijah Laney Hamilton. You know, I ain't mad at that. But, hey, JJ, the spotlight goes on JJ today. Jonquel Jones with the 34-piece on the defending champs. Defending champs are struggling. And you know, Asia made it be known, like, and she was very emotional after this game when she was in the press conference, because not only like a lot of people like myself didn't see the Aces being 6-6 through 12 games, but I don't think they saw themselves being 6-6 through 12 games. So the emotions, there might be some frustrations in that locker room. Not saying they it's in fighting and whatnot, but it's frustrating because you're the back-to-back defending champs, and everybody giving you their shot, and their shot is knocking y'all out. 6 times down. You sit up and you sit down. You're at 500. So maybe the fact that the Aces added, you know, Jessica from Mississippi State, who was drafted by us, but we waived with Jessica Stokes. We'll see how that works, because they give him back up to AJ Wilson because she can use some help, you know. But hey, I'm happy about my Liberty right now, playing good ball with 12-2 on the season, looking like the best team in the W right now, and I feel good. But we are still the only team from the existence of the WNBA that has not won a WNBA championship. The WNBA has been around for 28 years, and those 28 years, the New York Liberty has been around. 28 years old, and we have not won one championship. Like, we need to change that. Hopefully this year is to change that New York can have a party because we have a champion. Even though I'm not from New York, I stay in Florida. But I want the New York Liberty to get it. And as I always say on this team, when the road team is shooting 48.5% from the field and almost 43% from three-point range, you're going to win games on the road. And that's exactly what Liberty did. They were shooting well from the inside and on the outside. That's going to get you some wins. Now let's go to the team who has the best record in the WNBA, but it's not considered the best team in the WNBA. That would be the Connecticut Sun, because even though they went down to Dallas and put a beating on Awike Gamorale and the Dallas Wings with a tune of 85-67, that one in that 12-1 was a loss to the New York Liberty. And if I remember correctly, that was in Connecticut, by the way. So that's why people feel like the Liberty are the best team in the W right now, and the Connecticut Suns are not. But, man, what a beatdown. And it was a beatdown all around. We talking Carrington with 11, Harris with 10, Jones with 12 with 8 boards, Thomas with 13-9-9, and Barnard with 8-8. So you got destroyed because a team put the destruction on you, not one player. And, you know, when we look at the Dallas Wings, we can come around at 11 points, 2 for 15 on the field. That's not a Wiki Gamorale type numbers, but she got put in handcuffs. Let's just call it what it is. She got put in handcuffs. McLean with 16 points and 10 boards. Citrus with 16 points. But, man, it was a tough one down in Dallas. And Megan Price, my good friend, the Queen of Hoos, I can't find no answers for you. I just can't right now. This game. That was Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, we had a triple header on Father's Day, and it was a rematch between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, round 2. We also had LA Sparks fly down to the ATL to take on the Dream, and we had an interesting return when the Seattle Storm took on the Phoenix Mercury. Let's take it to the rematch number 2. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, round 2. Clayton Clark took the first round from Angel Reese as WNBA players, and she took round 2 against the Chicago Sky as the Fever go to 5-10 on the season, dropping the Sky to 4-9 on the season with a 91-83 win over the Chicago Sky. Clayton Clark, 23 points, 8 boards, 9 assists to lead the way. She did have 5 turnovers. But I don't care about the tunnel when you get a dub. All right. Still got to work on the tunnel, but I don't care. You got a dub. Chelsea Mitchell, 17 points. Aaliyah Boston with 19 and 14 boards. This working inside. Smith also dropped in 15. You got production all around. If you're the Indiana Phoenix, you should feel good about yourself. For the Chicago Sky, Marbury with 22 points in the losing effort. Kennedy Carter got the start in this one, 18 points. She's still hooping. Camilla Cardoso got 10 points and 10 boards. I think that was her first double-double as a professional athlete, as a professional WNBA player, her first one. And then we have Angel Reese with 11 and 13, also getting another double-double as well. Now, I will say this before I move on. I love Angel Reese. I really do. I love everything about her. I love how she plays. I love her attitude. I love her swag. I love all of it. But Angel, if I'm being completely honest with you, that was a flagrant foul that you on Caitlin Clark. Didn't mean for it to happen. The intention was not there. That's why I wanted to fuck you too. But anything towards the neck and head area is deemed a flagrant one. You went for the block. You didn't get the block. And you smacked Caitlin Clark in the head. That is a flagrant one foul. Whether we like it or not, by definition of the rule, that's a flagrant one foul. I'm with you, Angel Reese. I know it. You hate it. But by the letter of the law, because that's both in the NBA and the WNBA, because they pretty much got the same rules, basically, when it comes to fouls. By letter of the law, that was a flagrant foul. Flagrant one, because it wasn't intentional. It wasn't intentional, but you did hit it in the head. And that's an automatic flagrant foul. So, Angel, I know you don't. I know you frustrated and all that, but it was a flagrant foul, sweetie. It was a flagrant foul. Sorry. It's a flagrant foul. Now, shout out to Caitlin Clark. She had a good game. Man, people are still going to hype on the turnovers. She is leading the league in turnovers. It is what it is, but we'll get to all that. But you came out. You led your team with points. Now when you led your team with points, you chipped in on the rebounds, and you throw some dimes. You could have had a triple-double, okay? Aaliyah Boston wasn't left out of the cold. She gave you 19 and 14. I'm pretty sure some of those nine dimes came to Aaliyah Boston. You know, Kelsey Mitchell put in 17. So I'm pretty sure y'all two had fun being backcourt mates on yesterday. It is what it is. So shout out to Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is now 2-0 against Angel Reese as WNBA stars. You can also say 3-0 because they won the Elite Eight matchup back in college when it was LSU and Iowa for the right to go to the Final Four. So, as the year 2024 continues on, Caitlin Clark 3, Angel Reese 0, if we keep this going. But Angel Reese do get the last lap because she did win the big one, which is the next championship. Yes, sir. There go your team statistics, 56.5% shooting. That's home cooking for you right there if you're the Indiana Fever. When you can shoot over 50% from the field and close to 57, you're doing something right. And you shot almost 45% from three-point range. Yeah, you had the home cooking. You were sleeping in your bed. You probably got some good loving from your significant other, what the case may be. You felt good yesterday on Father's Day, and you showed up and you showed out. That was game one of three on Father's Day. Game two takes us to the ATL when the Atlanta Dream took down the LA Sparks 87-74. I happened to watch this game. This was the game that I chose to watch. And it was a very interesting game. The score doesn't indicate how close it was, okay? It was a close game. That fourth quarter, let me go back to the breakdown of the quarters. That fourth quarter, you know, the Sparks couldn't get nothing going. They turned the ball over left and right, and they gave the Dream easy buckets, and they ran away with it. Alicia Gray, 25 points. She was on one. Tina Charles, 20 points, 11 boards. She put Hamby and Brick to work. I'm just going to let you know. Watching that game, even though Hamby had 8 points with 10 points, she had 10 points with 8 boards, Cameron Brick with 16 points and 7 boards. Tina Charles put them to work. I'm just letting you know from what I saw. And you also had Alicia Gary Tony. Ryan Howard, she struggled, but she found a way to get to 16. But she struggled. Oh, she couldn't buy a shot. She couldn't buy a layup. It was not dropping for Ryan Howard, but Alicia Gray stepped up. So, but like I said, Cameron Brick on the other side, 16.7 boards. Derica Hamby with 10.8 boards. Rikita gave you 16 as well. So it's nice to see both rookies and Cameron Brick and Rikita Jackson both put up 16 points, even though all being in a losing effort. But seeing Cameron Brick take some three pointers and knocking them down, that was a good thing to see. You know, maybe we starting to see Cameron Brink get more involved in the offense, because we know what she can do on the defensive side. We just need to get involved in the offense to help out with the scoring. But Rekita Jackson, she's been scoring double figures for quite a bit. And Derica Hamby, this is like her first struggle game of the season. You know, 10 points with 8 boards. I do believe this is like her first game of the season when she struggled like that. Because Tina Charles was on one. I'm just going to tell you right now, watching the game, Tina Charles was on one. Shout out to my man Coop McCain and his Atlanta Dream getting a big dub at home, getting themselves at 500 on the season. Team statistics here, Atlanta Dream was shooting in the 40s on both inside the field and from three. So that would get it done. Even though the spark shot perfect from the line, 18 for 18, just wasn't enough. So while that game is going on, which is the game that I watched, I did not watch the Seattle Storm and the Phoenix Mercury. Skylar Diggins-Smith returning to the Phoenix area, and a return she wants to forget because, man, it was a struggle. She has 14. She scored 14 points. She had 6 boards and 8 assists, but it was a struggle. Trust me when I tell you, it was a struggle for her. 16 from 15 from the field, 2 from 6 from 3-point range. It was a struggle. Jrue Lloyd struggled. 14 points, 0 for 6 from 3-point range, 3 from 5 from 3 from 15 from the field. It was a struggle, okay? Brittany Griner, 28 points, 9 boards, just dominant on the inside. When you're dominant on the inside, you got somebody who can dominate on the outside, like a Kalia Copper, with 30. Jeez. Kalia dropped 30. 30 on the Seattle Storm. 11 for 12 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3-point range, but 6 boards. And Diana Taurasi, you know, she can take a day off, you know, 13 points, you know, 4 for 9 from the field. And 8 boys, you know, she took a day off because Brittany Griner and Kalia Copper was on one on the Seattle Storm, and they couldn't do nothing about it. So, shout out to them on that. Okay? Now, they made half their shots from the field. They went 31 for 62, what you expect. And the Storm shot 5 from 26 from 3-point range. Not good. Not good. Not good. Alright? Now, here's what I did, ladies and gentlemen. Remember I did after week one? Let's go a month into the rookie class and see what we got here. A month in, okay? This is a month. A whole month, okay? So the season started back on the what? May 13, 14. Gonna be at June 17. So yeah, good month. Caitlin Clark, 15.6 points per game, shooting 36.7 from the field. 32.2 from 3-point range, giving you about 5 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game, close to 1.5 steals a game with 5.5 turnovers a game. That's Caitlin Clark. Let's go to Cameron Brink. Let's go to L.A. 7.5 points per game, shooting 39% from the field, shooting almost 30% from 3-point range with 5.5 rebounds a game, 1.8 assists a game, 1.1 steals a game, and 2.7 blocks per game. That's Cameron Britt. Let's go to a teammate, Rekita Jackson. 9.8 points per game, shooting 46.5 on the field, 33.3% on 3-point range, giving you 3.4 rebounds a game, 0.6 assists a game, 0.5 steals a game, and 0.2 blocks a game. Okay, that's Rekita Jackson. Let's go to Angel Reese, shall we? 12.2 points per game, shooting 37.8% on the field, grabbing 10 rebounds a game, giving you about 2 assists a game and 2 steals a game from Angel Reese. Angel Reese is a double-double machine after the rookies, as you can see. And then let's go to Leah Edwards, okay? 9.1 points per game, shooting 52.1% from the field, 6.4 in the rebounding department, 1.1 assists a game, 0.8 assists a game, and 1.1 blocks per game. So, as we look at this rookie class, ladies and gentlemen, now, I do have Camila Cardoso in 6 games here. She only plays 6 games, but Camila Cardoso is averaging 8.2 points per game, shooting 52.8% from the field, giving you 5.7 rebounds a game, 1 assist a game, and 0.7 blocks a game. So, as I see here, and shout out to all the rookies, they are doing, they filling in well, doing, trying to do what they do. But as you can see here, Caitlin Clark is leading the rookies in points, okay? That's good. You have, even though she only played 6 games, Camila Cardoso is leading the league, is leading in field goal percentage at 52.8, even though Leah Edwards at 52.1. All right, rebounders is being led by Angel Reese at 10. You have Cameron Britt leading in blocks with 2.7 blocks. Steals, you might give it to Angel Reese, because Angel Reese is getting 1.8 steals a game, so she's on the defensive end too. Assists, you can give the assist to Caitlin Clark with 6 assists a game, you know. So rookies are all around. This rookie class is handling pretty good in this WNBA, but if we go on rookie of the year right now, based off of Mike's work, who is the front runner for rookie of the year right now, it would be Angel Reese. Angel Reese is the only one who averaging a double-double. Caitlin Clark is not averaging a double-double, okay? Now, if Caitlin Clark continues to play what she played against Chicago, she'll be close to averaging a triple-double, and that will put her in the front running to be rookie of the year. But right now, through 1 month of play, Angel Reese should be the front runner. She's averaging a double-double, okay? She might not be scoring as much points as Caitlin Clark, but she's doing it. She's got the points. She's at 12. She got the rebounds at 10. She's giving you about 2 assists a game and 2 steals a game. So she's doing on both ends on the floor. You cannot discredit that when she's doing it both ends of the floor, okay? I get that Caitlin Clark is the one everybody wants to throw anything to. She's giving you 5 assists. She's giving you 5 rebounds. She's giving you 6 assists, okay? She's giving you about a steal a game, all right? The crazy thing is she's not shooting better from the field than Angel Reese. It's crazy to say. The way the ball is in the hands of Caitlin Clark more than anybody else. But nevertheless, right now, June 17, 2024, Angel Reese is the front runner for rookie of the year. Could that change when we get to the Olympic break, which is about a month from now? Sure. Look at it, reevaluate the Olympic break rookie class, and see where we get, and see if I put somebody else on the front runner. But for right now, for this day right now, Angel Reese is the front runner for rookie of the year, in my opinion. If you don't like it, hey, that's all it is. My opinion is Angel Reese is the front runner, Caitlin Clark is second, all right? We'll see Camilla Cardoza does as she continues to get her foot in there. We'll see what Leah Edwards do at Washington, and we'll see what the people over Keita Jackson and Cameron Britt do in L.A. But right now, if I'm doing rookie of the year right now, Angel Reese 1, Caitlin Clark 2. It could change next month when we go into Olympic break, but for right now, at this moment in time, as the games have been played, Angel Reese is number 1, Caitlin Clark is number 2. All right? Now, with that being said, we're going to take a break. We're going to take our final break, should I say, because when we come back, we got to talk NBA Finals because it's not over. It is not over.
I love you, you morons. You kiss from the block, new edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I became a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan... say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the site, man, and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there seeing LA Knight. Oh, okay, man. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel. Join the Transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central. No, Pacific time zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Available on all streaming platforms, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and whatever else you can find your podcast. So if you can't catch this live on X, Facebook, or LinkedIn, because YouTube is having trouble, you can also catch the audio version on whatever platform that you listen to your podcast on. All right, now let's get to the games. 3 and 4 took place in down in Dallas. So just like I did with games 1 and 2, I was going to wait till games 3 and 4 were done in Dallas, and we were going to talk about it. So this will be at games 3 and games 4, but the series not over yet because they split in Dallas. Starting with game 3 when the Boston Celtics put down the Dallas Mavericks in the third quarter with that 35-19 third quarter, winning 106-90. Nah, and the talk of the town was about Luka Doncic, okay? Luka, 27 points with six assists, but he also fouled out. The first time he has ever fouled out during the playoffs of his career, will it be the NBA Finals, where he put himself in foul trouble out of frustration in two calls. His third foul shouldn't even happen, but he's so frustrated with the refs, he got called for a foul and did it intentionally, too. Fourth foul, same thing, out of frustration, doing something that he normally doesn't do, and he got called for a foul. Those two fouls should have been avoided by Luka Doncic, but he didn't avoid it. Kyrie Irving woke up, gave you 35 points, but without Luka Doncic, it was a done deal. You had 30 from Jaylen Brown with 8 and 8. You had 31 from Jason Tatum with 6 and 5. And it was a 3-0 series lead for the Boston Celtics. The shooting numbers are very similar. 46% for the Celtics, 44% for the Mavs, 37% from three-point range for the Celtics, 36% from three-point range. It's the Mavericks. The Mavericks out rebounding the Celtics, 43-36. But it didn't matter because they out-assisted. The Boston had 26 assists to the Mavericks, 15 assists. They wanted it more to go a 3-0. With the talk around Luka, the talk around all his antics and whatever he did, how would they come back in game 4? Hey, Luka, being Luka, responded to all the negative talk around his name and responded with a devastating beatdown in game 4 of the Boston Celtics. 122-84. It was a done deal after the first quarter when they jumped out to a 34-21 lead, and it was down here from there because the second quarter was atrocious by the Celtics, scoring only 14 points in the second quarter, getting destroyed before the half. Luka with 29, 5, and 5. Didn't hit none of his three. It didn't even freaking matter. And when they played 33 minutes, Kyrie in 31 minutes, 21 points. And it just didn't matter because the Celtics couldn't do nothing. Jaylen Brown, 10 points. Jason Tatum, 15 points. Jrue Holiday, 10 points. It didn't matter. They almost beat them by 40. At one point, they did have a 40-point lead, okay? But they almost beat them by 40 in a record-setting finals beat. I think that was the third or fourth most lopsided win in finals history. This happened Friday, ladies and gentlemen. The Celtics had the whole entire weekend, including Father's Day, to think about this ass whooping that they took at the hands of the ball at the Dallas Mavericks. And consequently, just for the record, because it's going on around the same time, the same thing happened with the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. The Florida Panthers went down to Edmonton in game three, took a 3-0 lead. And then in game four, which took place, this took place Friday, game four of the NHL Stanley Cup Finals took place Saturday. And guess what? The Edmonton Oilers won 8-1. The Panthers had all yesterday to think about it. They got all day today to think about it as they head home for game five tomorrow. Similar situation with the Boston Celtics. That's why I made the comparison with hockey this time. Interesting to see. Can the Boston Celtics close it out? And you see the team statistics here, which I don't need to get into. It was a beatdown, right? Because tonight, 8:30 ABC, it is game five back in B-Town. And the Boston Celtics is 5 and 6.5 point favorites to close this series out. And in which I made a post after Friday's game and said, so this series ends Monday, huh? And I'm thinking about what I said. The Boston Celtics close this series out tonight. The 18 banner will be official by the end of the night. With that being said, however, that will also, the tonight's result of tonight's game will also determine if I do a show Wednesday or do I wait to Friday. Because if the Boston Celtics do happen to lose to the Dallas Mavericks tonight at home at TD Garden, by the way, a place that the Dallas Mavericks has not won all season, and I do mean all season. They have not won in Boston all season. We're talking three games in Boston. They lost all three of them. Matter of fact, before game four, they lost all games two to the Boston Celtics until game four. So both meetings in the regular season, they took an L. And the first three games, they took an L to the Boston Celtics. So Boston was coming in game four 5-0 against the Dallas Mavericks until game four. But now that they got that monkey off their back, can the Dallas Mavericks do something that they haven't done all year? Win in Boston. Because they do win in Boston. That means game six would be Thursday back in Dallas. It makes things very interesting. So if the Dallas Mavericks do win this game tonight, be sure to see me here Wednesday to preview game six. Okay? But if they don't, I will do my coronation of the Boston Celtics on Friday. So the Dallas Mavericks hold shooting lights out in the palm of their hands. If they want to add to the episode of Shooting Lights Out, all they got to do is win tonight. And Wednesday, I have to eat my words for saying the series ends tonight and just raise an eyebrow to the Boston Celtics. But I have a feeling this ends tonight. This is my feeling. Matter of fact, I'm going to go on and let them say this series ends tonight. And I'm going to let them say the Stanley Cup ends tomorrow night. That means the Boston Celtics will hand banner 18 being the most titles won in the NBA, breaking the top of the LA Lakers. And I'm saying right here and right now that the Florida Panthers will capture their first ever Stanley Cup championship tomorrow night. So I'm going to limb on both sides, all right? I'm going with both home teams to win, even though this is a basketball program. Just want to get that in there. And before I get out of here, I got to get you ready for the week that's in the WNBA because tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have a game tonight, 8 o'clock. The Dallas Wings take on the Minnesota Lynx. And I don't know what – we're going to see what Dallas is made of, all right? Because you got the Minnesota Lynx, one of the hottest teams in the W right now. You're a 9.5 underdog. So you're almost a 10-point underdog. Jeez. They have no faith and the Dallas Wings. Good gracious. That's the long game tonight on NBA Finals night. But tomorrow we got a doubleheader. First up on NBA TV at 7 p.m., the LA Sparks continue their East Coast road trip, this time against the team with the best record, and the Connecticut Suns at 12-1. So with Kida Jackson, Cameron Brent, you get a firsthand look at DeJuan Obama, Alicia Thomas, and Breonna Jones. Take some lessons, write down some notes, and understand what type of game you're going to be involved in, all right? That's at 7 p.m. 10 p.m. CBS Sports Network, the New York Liberty, my New York Liberty. We heading out to Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to the desert to take on the Phoenix Mercury, who are sitting at 7-7. John Crell Jones versus Brittany Griner on the inside. That should be a fun matchup. Kalia Copper going to get Sabrina Ionescu in the guard matchup. That should be a good one. Breanna Stewart, who is one of the faces of the WNBA. And on the other side, you have Diana Taurasi, who's another face of the WNBA. Should be an interesting matchup tomorrow night down in the desert. And then tomorrow, we got a triple header tomorrow beginning at 7 p.m. on NBA TV with the Washington Mystics. Take on the Indiana Fever up in Indiana. That should be a fun matchup. Round two between those two teams. Then from Indiana to the Twin Cities of Minnesota, where the Minnesota Lynx play host to the Atlanta Dream. That should be a fun one to watch between Tina Charles and the Lynx. You know, Ryan Howard against the Lynx. I'm really looking forward to Alicia Gray going against LaVisa Calder and Tina Charles in there as well. I'm looking forward to that. And then at 10 p.m. on NBA TV, the Seattle Storm play a visit to the defending champs, Las Vegas Aces. That's the Aces trying to find answers to get themselves back in the groove, get them back in the running ways. And the Storm want to come off that ass whooping that they took from the Minnesota. About the ass when they took from the Phoenix Mercury over the weekend. All right. I'm going to get my games messed up. That's tomorrow. And then Wednesday, we have a doubleheader where the Dallas Wings take on the Chicago Sky at 12 p.m. And then on Prime Video at 7 p.m., Rikita Jess and Cameron Brake and the LA Sparks come to the Barclays Center to take on the New York Liberty. So those are your games this week for the WNBA. I want to thank y'all for tuning in on today. Those of you who watched on Facebook, those of you who watched on LinkedIn, those who watched on X, formerly known as Twitter, thank you very much. Sorry to my YouTube family. YouTube is having some live stream problems, so they didn't go live on YouTube, but I will take this. I will post it on there so y'all do get the video content of this episode of Shooting the Lights Out. Outside of that, you can catch this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio, or wherever else you can find your podcast at. Thank y'all for tuning in today for this episode of Shooting the Lights Out. Let's see if Dallas can maybe do an episode on Wednesday, or I'll be seeing y'all Friday, depending on the outcome of the NBA Finals. Let's see.
You've done great, but you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You got to keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you got to keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah. Gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the floor. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.